Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuckery Show here on a Friday night with you. We're streaming online. Go to 929thegame.com. Catch us live. Listen to replays of all the shows, interviews, breaking sports news, finest moments. All that's up there. 929thegame.com, our new improved website. Download radio.com app. Put that on one of your devices, your phone, your tablet, your boombox, turntable, CD player, Walkman, Commodore 64, whatever you got. All the social media for the stations at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us, like us, all that good stuff. The best way to keep up with this particular show is always through our personal Twitter accounts. He is at JarvisD90, producing the show tonight. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316, or your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Brian Baldinger coming up at 8:20. We will get his thoughts about both the Atlanta Falcons and some of the things going on around the NFL as well. But we did a lot with the SEC Media Days this week, and, you know, because I'm a big tech fan as well, you know, ACC Media Days took place. Now, you know, obviously Coach Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech taking over the program, coming from Temple, taking over from longtime head coach Paul Johnson, and you know, it's been a real shot in the arm, a real invigorating shot in the arm. And obviously Jeff Collins, part of it is not just the football aspect of what he's got to do, but part of this is the sell job of Georgia Tech. You know, getting Georgia Tech back to the business of big-time football. And I know there's going to be Georgia fans out there laughing and thinking all that, but you can't write the history book of college football without a good section of that, including Georgia Tech. Like, Georgia Tech is part of the fabric and history of college football. So, you know, this program obviously in a very kind of level pattern lull for years with Paul Johnson. You know, you get the really good, but then you get the real low. You know, you get the, we won the Orange Bowl against Miss State, but then, you know, we won one ACC game, what, 2 years later, and that was off of a fluke play, that a blocked kick against Florida State. I mean, it's that kind of momentum swings. A lot of 7-5 Chan Gailey-ish in the middle at times. But Coach Jeff Collins done a great job of shooting life into this program and making them at least people taking some notice of what Georgia Tech's got going on. I want you to hear some clips. We got some of the clips from the coaches at ACC Media Days. Let's start for it with Jeff Collins as he talks about what the most important aspect of this transition has been.
The big thing is just developing relationships with our players, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We wanted every single player in our organization to know how much we love them, care for them, and want them to be successful in every single phase of their lives. And that is a daily mission, so these guys get better in every single phase of their life.
Now, what he didn't say that I think goes along with this too, because Hugh Douglas and I were out at Georgia Tech's spring game, okay? And we got to talk with several former players. Okay, we talked to several guys that were out there. That a lot of the alumni showed up. Calvin showed up. Joe Hamm was out there. Ryan Stewart. A lot of the alum was out there. Okay, obviously there's some alum that's on the coaching staff, right? Tashard Choice. Okay, I mean he's got some guys. Yeah, Marco Coleman. Actually, Hugh was talking to Marco Coleman, and you know he wanted Hugh to come over and do a little coaching on that pass rush. But what Jeff Collins has also done is re-embrace the alumni. Get the alum, and I can tell you this, that matters. You know, at a program like that, to have Calvin Johnson, or the guy who finished number two in the Heisman, and Joe Hamm, it's important to get those guys. It's important to get those guys back involved in being a face of that program and helping you sell that program. It's an important aspect of, if Tech's going to get back in the football business, then you need some of your alumni. And let me tell you, the basketball program at times hasn't done a lot of this. You know, Paul Hewitt was not a guy about embracing a lot of the alumni. And I can tell you, talking directly to some of the alumni, that was the case. Jeff Collins gets it. Remember, Jeff Collins was here. He's the guy that recruited, Derek Morgan and all those guys, you know, those years, those good classes that were coming in with George. He was here and part of all that. Was that 07, I think, or whatever it was? I think it was 07, 08, somewhere around in that range. He was here for all of that. So he knows the culture and understands what this program is. Here's Jeff Collins talking about going from Temple now to a program like Tech.
We had a great run at the previous place, and great young men, great culture. But, you know, again, coming back home to Atlanta was special. Been here twice in the past, one with Coach George O'Leary, one with Chan Gailey, coaching at Georgia Tech, and always had visions of one day returning as the head football coach and to actually be here in front of you guys and at this great event as the head football coach at Georgia Tech. At times it's surreal, but it's an exciting time. We've got some great young men in our organization.
Again, you've got a guy up and coming, loves the program. And I will tell you this, and I've gone back and forth a little bit with some Tech folks about this. Hey, if Jeff Collins blows it up, makes it big time and blows it up and leaves in 3 or 4 years for a better job, that's not a bad thing, folks. Well, we're not a starter. Doesn't matter. If your coach is coveted, that's a good thing. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what school you coach at. You could coach at Clemson or Wofford. But if your coach is coveted, that's what you want. That's good for your program because you can get the next guy. It doesn't have to look like a retirement home for coaches. Because some people thought, Paul's never going to leave that program. He's going to die on the sidelines. He loves coaching there. And they were never going to fire Paul. Never going to fire Paul, which I'm not telling you they should. I'm just telling you that the reality was is that Paul was going to go when Paul was going to go. And that was it. Now you shoot some youth into that and invigoration in this team. But don't take it as a negative if in 3 years people say, man, Jeff Collins has done a great job at Tech and you know other schools are looking at him. That's a sign. That's a badge of honor, guys. That's a badge of honor. You want that out of your program. You want your program to be good enough that people come calling for your coach. Here's Jeff Collins talking about embracing getting to open up against, the defending national champions in Clemson.
Every single thing that we do in our program matters. Every single day matters. Every single opponent matters. We're just blessed that we get to play the defending national champions on the road. I think it's nice to have such a big game from the outside world's perspective. As you're going through the offseason conditioning, you know, enhance the focus.
Look, what's the difference if you get your brains beat in week one versus week seven? The difference is you get to be the opening game on ACC Network. And you get all the fanfare and hoopla and all the eyeballs on you right away. And if that means the eyeballs are on you because everybody wants to see Clemson, that's still a good thing for your program. That's still good for your program. Because do some good things in that game and all of a sudden people are going to say, hey, what Jeff Collins got going over here? Yeah. Tech will play good for about the first 7.5 minutes of that game, then they'll get their brains beat in, which is okay. I got news for you. You know what Clemson's going to do to a lot of folks this year? Beat their brains in. You know what they're going to do to just pretty much every ACC opponent they play? Beat their brains in. You know, they've got that guy at quarterback, that guy at running back, that guy at defensive end. They're good. There's a reason why they're going to be preseason number one. You know, I don't know if they're 15-0 good. Might be 14-1 good, though. So I love it. I love what Jeff Collins brings. He had a lot of energy at the ACC Media Days. I thought he showed himself really well. You know, I thought he brought a lot of excitement, to that event. And look, it's easy for a program like Tech to get lost in the shuffle. And look, we know as well as anybody, you think Paul Johnson wanted to be at the ACC Media Days? You think it's where Paul Johnson wanted to go spend his time? I don't care if there was free golf or whatever. Jeff Collins comes across as a guy who embraces this team, embraces this program, embraces what the brand of Georgia Tech is. They need some of that badly. All right, let me give you a little bit more from ACC Media Days and that guy, Dabo Swinney. Let's start with first, the journey is starting for Clemson right now.
I can be the greatest coach in the world, but if the players don't buy in and don't believe, it's not going to work.
And so we've had a bunch of selfless players and staff that have bought into the philosophy of the program and how we do things. And it's been a great journey. But, you know, we're just getting going.
Okay, who ain't buying into Clemson right now? What 17 or 18-year-old in America ain't buying into what Clemson's got going on? You know what they got? Not only a great program, they got water slides in their facilities and miniature golf and everything else. They got every bell and whistle you want. Right now, if you're a good football player, where else would you want to go besides Clemson? I get if you grew up in Alabama, you play. I'm talking about what's not sexy about Clemson right now. And you know what they also get right now? All the great players in America. They go out and get exactly what they need when they need it. They may not just mass recruit all the time with it. They get specifically what they need when they need it. That's a pretty good company to be in. Now, this was the comment that got everybody kind of riled up at ACC Media Days. Dabo Swinney talking about how it's a double standard with the ACC perception.
The rhetoric used to be, well, an ACC team's never going to win the national championship because they don't play anybody. And so when they get to postseason and they got to play the big bad boys, they can't be prepared. Well, now we win it. Well, the only reason we win it now is because we don't play anybody. So you can't have it both ways.
I get it. I mean, here's the thing. What really ticks people off about the ACC, Clemson isn't the team that ticks people off in the ACC, right? Y'all know that, right? Jarvis, do you know what team ticks people off in the ACC? You know? Huh? No. Notre Dame. Because they ain't a football member. But they basically are an ACC representative. And every year Florida State goes 12-0, you know what Florida State, every year that Notre Dame goes 12-0, you know what Notre Dame's going to be? In the playoff. Anytime they're 12-0, they're going to be in the playoff. Yeah. So that's where people get ticked off about the ACC. Well, Florida or Notre Dame should be part of that conference. They ain't, and they don't need to be. And you know what they say? The hell with you. They're Notre freaking Dame, by God, as West Durham would say. They're by God Notre Dame. All right, one last clip. Willie Taggart, embattled coach at Florida State, because it's not been good. That was a dreadful-looking season last year. Not sure if he can turn it around. Lost his quarterback to transfer. Willie Taggart on his mindset coming into year number two.
I think year two, myself, a lot more confident in our football team and our coaches and administration and everything. It's just year two, you know a lot more. You know, you go through year one, this is learning experience throughout the whole thing. And now going into year two, you're familiar with everything. Our players are more comfortable with us. We're more comfortable with our players, and things just seem to be much smoother.
Let me tell you what one of the things that's going to happen at Florida State. I said this earlier this year. They're going to waste Cam Akers' career at Florida State. That kid was the number one running back in America. They're going to waste his career at Florida State. You're going to look back and say, what the hell did Florida State do to Cam Akers? Why did they hate him so much? And DeAndre Francois said, I had enough of all this. I'm out. So, good luck. Maybe they won't be 3-9. I'm not sure that they're 6-6, but anything can happen. All right, Brian Baldinger, Radio.com NFL Insider, going to join us next. A lot of good information about the Falcons, and should be following him on Twitter. We're going to hear from him next. John Chuck, we're on the John Chuck Show in the Key Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show with you on a Friday night. Well, rookies are already in Flowery Branch. Veterans coming in on Sunday as training camp officially opens on Monday here in Atlanta as the Falcons get ready for Hall of Fame action against the Denver Broncos. Here to help us figure it all out on the WadeFord.com hotline, it is Radio.com NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger joining us. Of course, you can always follow him on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. He's got great, if you got to follow the hashtag Baldy's Breakdowns. I love, Brian, when you've got the breakdowns of the offensive lineman that just road grade some defender that's coming at him. It's always my favorite stuff on there.
Yeah, well, I enjoy doing it, John. I really do. I know that, sure, I know if you're just watching the games on TV or even if you go to the games, it's hard to see just all the moving parts in on any given play. And so most people, I mean, it's nothing wrong with this, but most people just kind of follow the ball, and they really kind of neglect what happens in the trenches, which on most plays kind of determines the success of the play or failure of a play. And so I try to bring that element, that component. You know, I think it's a missing ingredient with what fans want and what they don't see sometimes. And I try to fill in the blanks a little bit. So I really enjoy doing it. And I think the fans enjoy it. And I think the players kind of like watching it as well.
It's good stuff. Let's start here in Atlanta. Two huge signings this week. I would tell you that the first and second best defensive player that this squad has got their contract extensions. Do maybe people around, fans of the NFL and things like that, not understand maybe how good Thomas Dimitroff has been, especially at putting the cap together, getting guys signed long-term? But you never hear about the Falcons as one of those, you know, cap casualty teams or one of those cap purgatory types of franchises.
No, Tom's done a great job. He really has. You know, under Thomas Dimitroff, they have extended Matt Ryan twice. And both of them have been $100-plus million contracts. And with that, you know, Julio Jones, Alex Mack has been brought in. You know, they just signed, obviously, you know, Grady Jarrett along with Deion Jones this week. They've kept the foundation of the team together. And so he's done a great job managing that. It's a big part of anybody's success. Obviously, the injuries kind of, you know, hit them early last year, and that will happen to teams and derail you early. But I think that they're right back to where Thomas Dimitroff and I think where they kind of expect to be this year, like in a division hunt in the NFC South. And if you're in that hunt, you're in the playoff hunt.
Radio.com NFL insider Brian Baldinger joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So with that, Brian, if you know this is a franchise that has its two best offensive players locked up long-term, just locked up its two best defensive players long-term. Is that in some ways a message from an Arthur Blank saying, okay, now there's no distractions, there's nothing, you know, for anybody to hang their hat on. Now it's about football, and it's time to go get that Lombardi trophy for the case up in Flowery Branch.
Well, I think so. I think so, John. I mean, I think it sends a message to the locker room that, you know, if you perform, if you have production the way – you know, those two defensive players that we just mentioned got signed and the way Julio's performed, that you can be an Atlanta Falcon for a long, long time. And they'll keep you right there in the Mercedes-Benz Dome. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I mean, one trip to the Super Bowl here, you know, in the last 4 years, I mean, that was a nice run. I mean, you need to, you know, get back to the playoffs here. And really there's no excuses. Even if there is injuries, they're really – you know, I mean, their job is to put the best 53 available, you know, find those guys out. And, you know, it's always the next man up. And, look, I understand there's not a lot of, you know, middle linebackers like Deion Jones in this league that can cover, that can run, that can hit the way he can. But I see injuries, you know, plague other teams as well, and they overcome them. And so I don't think there's any excuses in Atlanta this year, regardless. They had a lot of guys that played last year, a lot of guys who got experience. That's the benefit of having so many injuries and injuries at key spots. But I don't believe there's any excuses this year. This looks like a very good football team. They've got a quarterback that's a proven winner. They've got Dirk Cotter back in the building. I don't, you know, just knowing Arthur the way I think I do, and as long as I've known him, I think that everybody's under the microscope this year in Atlanta.
So, Brian, you know, put the Atlanta Falcons kind of in your pecking order in the NFC about where you think, constructed as is, they rank among, you know, everybody within the conference.
Well, I think Philadelphia is stacked. I mean, just stacked at every position. They've got depth and they've got experience. They've got star players in a lot of spots. They look stacked to me, although, you know, they did lose the division last year to the Dallas Cowboys, who look like they're pretty stacked as well. Especially getting, you know, an all-pro center back in the middle. I mean, I can't talk enough about getting Travis Frederick back. We'll see what he's like and how he responds this year after sitting out last year. But they look very good. The Saints look very good to me. I think the Panthers will look a lot more like a 6-2 team that they started the season than a team that finished 1-7. I think Atlanta is bounced back. So what I'm saying is, I mean, I haven't gotten to Chicago yet. and Seattle and the Rams. I mean, this NFC is loaded. It's loaded. And so the six teams that get that qualify for the playoffs this year are going to be six really good football teams. You're going to have to earn, I think, a real – you're going to have to earn a spot to qualify for the playoffs in the NFC this year. To call the pecking order right now, John, on, you know, July 19th, I don't know. I think the teams I just mentioned that I feel are stacked and really ready to take off. I mean, I'm not shying away from what Philadelphia, Dallas, Chicago, what they have, what the Rams have done. But the Saints have come very, very close 2 years in a row, and I don't believe that they're going to go backwards this year. I think they're only going to be just as good, if not better.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the John Chuckery Show. We're out on the WadeFord.com hotline. Brian Baldinger joining us, Radio.com NFL Insider on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. You kind of mentioned Carolina. Do you think Carolina or Tampa are primed to maybe bounce back within the division? Obviously, everybody's got New Orleans and Atlanta as the class of the division, but could one of those two teams really kind of spoil the party or upset the apple cart or whatever cliche you want to throw out there?
No, I don't think Tampa's ready yet. I mean, I just don't see it. But I think Carolina could. They've got a lot of young talent there. They've addressed some weaknesses on the defensive line. You know, they have drafted high at skilled positions on offense, you know, starting with Christian McCaffrey. You know, DJ Moore, I think, is going to have a real good sophomore season for the Carolina Panthers. I mean, he is very explosive after the ball's and gets in his hands. Yeah, Bill Curry gets the ball to him in a lot of different ways. Samuel, I mean, I just think they've got a lot of young talent, and I think Ron Rivera is a very good football coach. And I think they've improved in some spots. So I expect Carolina, prior to last year's second half collapse, I mean, they've been highly, highly competitive in the NFC South for about five straight years in a row. So I think that's who they are, and I think that's what they'll get to this year. I mean, I expect them to be go toe-to-toe with the Saints and the Falcons each time they play them.
Brian, let's bounce around the rest of the league for just a little bit. So as a guy who was born in Northeast Ohio and grew up watching the Cleveland Browns, is this the team to rally around? I mean, is this team for real? I mean, is this the team that's ready to win that division this coming year?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously they're paper, you know, Tigers right now. It doesn't mean anything today. But there's going to come a point this year, John, when all this collection of talent that John Dorsey has assembled over the last 2 years, quickly over the last 2 years, is either going to come together or it's not. Now, it may be a pivotal game against the Steelers, against the Ravens, where they go up and they knock off, you know, the big bad boys of that, you know, division over the last, you know, half dozen years. You know, either they could do it or they can't. They beat the Ravens last year. They took the Steelers to overtime. You know, I mean, they went to the Ravens week 17 with a chance to finish out the season and knock the Ravens out of the playoffs. They didn't quite do it. They didn't finish. But they're right there. I mean, but they have to do it. I mean, the Ravens and Steelers have proven that they know how to win. They know how to overcome injuries and all that. The Cleveland hasn't done any of that yet. But the talent is there. We've got to see what Freddie Kitchens does now that he's the head coach. I've talked to Juice Landry and other guys on that team, and they're all waiting to kind of see how Freddie responds to being the head coach. Last year, nobody could spot him out of a lineup at this point. You know, he took over the reins, obviously, midseason when Hugh Jackson got fired and all that kind of stuff happened, and he performed really well. It's different now that he's the head coach, and we got to see how that goes. But I personally feel like this is going to be a very good football team.
Brian, you know, obviously it's Brady, it's Belichick. I get it. We all understand it. I mean, you know, doesn't seem to phase them no matter what happens. But I still kind of wonder, and I know there's been jokes about him coming back or not, but I wonder if maybe we're not talking enough about the impact of the loss of Gronk in that offense. And just as Brady gets older, about how much you can rely on a guy that's just such a mismatch in the league. Is that maybe a story not being talked about enough about his retiring?
I don't think so, John, because they've won without him. They won Super Bowls without him. They've gone to the playoffs without him. They've overcome his injuries. They've never relied on one guy. I mean, Wes Welker was catching 100 balls a year for four or five straight years in a row, and they let him walk. I mean, he's the most dominant tight end we have seen in our era. and he was a matchup that nobody could ever figure out. He did have that aspect. He caught the biggest pass in the Super Bowl last year at 53 to get him down there to, you know, to strike and put the game, you know, to take the lead and put the game out of reach. I mean, he did all that, and that's, and he blocks like no other tight end. He's going to be tough to overcome, but they are still very good in the offensive line, and they're still very good in the defensive line, and that's kind of where they beat the Rams last year, right there in the trenches. And so this running back, Sony Michel, is unbelievable, and we've seen Brady just overcome one loss after another. And I think, you know, we're losing Josh Gordon in the middle of the season last year when they were really relying on him heavily. I think they'll overcome the loss of Gronk.
Brian, last thing for you. I've got just about a minute left. I know it's probably not going to be fair when I ask this, but do you expect a deal to get done pretty quick? I know Roger Goodell had talked about by week one wanting a new CBA in place. How quickly do you see that process happening?
I don't see that happening. I mean, I know I've heard some outrageous things that they're going to go to an 18-game schedule where players only play 16 games. When I heard that, I'm thinking, they're really going to play a game without Tom Brady? He's just going to sit there and watch on the side, or Drew Brees is going to not come out of the Super Bowl tunnel, you know, against the Falcons? I mean, I just don't buy that at all. So if that's where they're at, and that's a bargaining chip in this CBA, the 18-game schedule, that's just no way is that going to fly. So I think there's a lot of negotiation between now and getting a deal done, and I don't see that getting done by September 7th.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on the John Chuckery Show. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to interact, best way to catch us on our show is through our Twitter accounts. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at Jarvis D90. Hey, join Andy Bunker, Randy McMichael, the 92.9 The Game crew this coming Saturday. The Midday Show is going to broadcast live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It's from noon to 3. Hang out with the Midday Show for lunch and enjoy delicious man food and cold beer, plus prize giveaways including the chance to win an autographed Matt Ryan football and a digital copy of the movie Bottom of the Ninth. Join us this Saturday from noon to 3 at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Still all the usuals to get to. We'll get to a Falcon flyover coming up at the top of the hour. That's life. Lots of stuff to get into, but we have reached that point of the show where we call this What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. It ain't going to end well for Georgia Tech's men's basketball program. I don't know if you guys saw, there's an article by Alan Judd of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution a little bit earlier, a few hours ago, that this came out. In fact, D-Led even kind of retweeted this out there. It says that the NCAA investigator warned of dire consequences if Georgia Tech coach Josh Pastner lied about breaking the association's rules. Okay? Well, the AJC has obtained a recording of Pastner's confidential interview and compared his statements to text messages, emails, photographs, and videos, many of them contained in court documents. Now, they say that this comes as Tech faced a reckoning for what the NCAA has deemed a severe breach of contract involving a former associate of Coach Pastner's, Ron Bell, an estranged friend of his, reformed drug addict, former prison inmate, of course, from Tucson, Arizona. This goes back to Pastner's time out in Arizona. Association is weighing penalties against the school. The NCAA may expel coaches who withhold information or lie to investigators, but has not accused Pastner of breaking any rules, despite evidence that undermines his story. And the article goes on to basically say that the story that Pastner's kind of put out there isn't really in sync with what he told NCAA investigators, that there are some disputes and there are some kind of shaded the truth is that was what they say in the article. Now, we know, you know, this guy Ron Bell and all the craziness that he's got, and, you know, it was a friendship gone wrong, and when the relationship wasn't good for him anymore, then Bell decided, you know, let's turn coat, and we're gonna drop a dime on Josh Pastner and all this kind of stuff. So Look, I don't know what the NCAA is going to say or they're going to find or whatever like that, but I can tell you, you know, just reading through this and seeing the things that goes on, you can tell me that there's not a lot there, but I believe that when there's smoke, there's fire in these kinds of stories, okay? Where there's smoke, there's fires. We've talked before. There is no sport more filthy, more dirty than college basketball. It is the filthiest, dirtiest sport that's out there. Pick whatever. They make boxing look legitimate. Okay? That's how bad college basketball is. So it's bad. With all due respect to our guy Sparty, you know, out there. It's a dirty sport. Do I believe Josh Pastner's hands are crystal clean? You know, no, I don't. I don't think any coach is. You saw what's his name, the Sean, who's the coach for Arizona? Sean Miller. You know, and the whole DeAndre Ayton stuff that went on with everything. Okay. Don't think some of that was true? Okay, where do you think their head coach for Georgia Tech came from? He also came from Memphis. You know anything about Memphis's history in the world of basketball and what's gone on there over the years? How about this? Excuse me. What's gone over there over the decades? I mean, Memphis had trouble back when Keith Lee was playing there in the mid-'80s. Okay? And Baskerville Holmes and those guys. Remember those guys? Baskerville Holmes and Keith Lee and all those guys back in the heyday? This is before, you know, Penny and all those guys even got there. And then Derrick Rose got there. So there's always been issues. Back when they were Memphis State, I think they were in the Metro Conference with Louisville and all that. Okay? So this goes back a long way. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to end well for Josh Pastner and Georgia Tech. It's not going to end well. Now, you can root against them and all of that kind of stuff. I don't want to see. I mean, Georgia Tech's basketball program has had enough trouble as it is, just trying to figure out their sea legs and what are they. You add this onto it, this is going to be a big blow. I don't think it's going to look good, and I don't think they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. And if what some of this stuff is in here, the inconsistencies in the story and stuff like that, Tech could be in for a long ride. And I'm not sure Josh Pastner survives. Look. Everybody likes Coach Pastner. Seems to be a nice guy. He's done a lot of stuff with us here on the station. Been very gracious with his time. I'm not telling you that. And he came in here guns blazing. I got to build the brand and all that kind of. I get it. But there's a lot of baggage right now with what's going on with Josh Pastner. And I'm not sure right now with what's going on that you can just kind of let him weather the storm and hope for the best. Because this program's not in good shape. And by the way, they're not a very good basketball team. You know, that's the other part about it is that, okay, maybe if they were winning a lot, they ain't very good, though. They ain't very good. So you add that with all this other stuff out there, I'm not sure Todd Stansberry, you know, can sit around and just kind of watch all this take place out there. It's a shame. Georgia Tech basketball, another program that should be a lot better than what it is. But until you find that guy, you know, and that's one of the things that they have not found that guy. You got to bring that guy in and get him. Brian Gregory is not that guy. I'm starting to wonder about whether or not Josh Pastner is going to get a chance to be that guy. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact on the show. Pitcher's duel going on right now. It's a SunTrust Park 1-0 Braves up over Washington. So with the lead and Ronald Acuña on first. So, you know, maybe if they can pluck a couple of runs off Patrick Corbin, maybe find a way to take game two. I think this is an important game. You know, runs are going to be at a premium tonight, and right now Julio Teheran is doing his part. Now, it's the bottom of the fifth inning. I haven't seen yet about whether or not, I guess I should probably look and see, because once you get to the fifth inning, you know, that's Julio Teheran needs to be pulled time, right? Like, far be it for him to pitch, you know, past the fifth or sixth inning. I mean, you know, let's see how many pitches Julio Teheran is up to. Through five innings, Julio Teheran is only at 62 pitches. How about that? Five hits or five innings, one hit, no earned runs, five strikeouts, and no walks. What did we talk about at the start of the show? I need at least seven innings out of Julio Teheran tonight. He should get me seven right now. And with all due respect, I know that 100-pitch mark just throws everything off. Maybe he can get eight tonight. Maybe you let him find a way to go get eight tonight out there. I would. If I could rest my bullpen, I'd rest my bullpen tonight. If I could find a way to rest my bullpen after six pitchers last night. Yeah, I know they got Luke and they got Swarzak. If it's 1-0, by the way, Luke will be in. Luke will pitch the ninth because that's what you got to do in Major League Baseball is make sure you bring your closer in for all that stuff. So good for Julio Teheran. Good for the Braves getting back on track here. Might be nice to put up a couple of insurance runs, you know, before they get into high leverage time with the bullpen and everything like that. So, All right, when we get back, today was somebody's birthday that left us way too soon, and I'm going to encourage you to go do something and watch his greatness. I'm going to explain all that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. This is John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.